last couple of weeks, we've been on this series. Some say we've been on this series called The True Gospel. No cap. Listen, y'all, I'm not saying no cap. I'm 31 years old. I don't know what that means. Yeah, I'll be whack. I'll be saying real talk like it's still 2004. So I'm going to just say, hey, y'all, it's that we talk about the true gospel tonight. So we've been talking about the true gospel the last couple of weeks, right? So, okay. My man, you've been talking about the true gospel. My man right over here. Pastor Josh has been preaching on the true gospel. We've been talking about biblical Christianity and contrary to actually an American Christianity that we might have been seeing for a while now, actually. We've been dissecting what it is to what biblical Christianity looks like, what it is to have this real gospel. Because listen, y'all, I want to tell y'all, me and Pastor Josh, man, and our whole youth staff team, we've been praying in this hour. We're in a special time right now. This is a time right now. Some of y'all were like, man, 2020 was rough. Well, guess what? It ain't over. This is going to be like, we've entered into some rumblings and some shakings. Listen, y'all, I'm sorry, but where are my sixth graders at? Shout out to my sixth graders, but guess what? You're in this room to know him. You're in this room to experience him. You're in this room to be rooted and grounded in this person, Jesus, because I want y'all to know that he is the only one that is unshakable. Listen, y'all, we're in an hour where, man, things are going to get kind of bumpy. If y'all didn't recognize 2020, it was, like, pretty bumpy. And I don't think it's going to be over. Me and Pastor Josh, I remember we were praying here on a Sunday. And there is this deep burden to prepare you all for life, to walk with Jesus through, but also, man, we're in the last days for his coming. We want to present y'all. The Bible says this, man, about Apostle Paul, he wants to present the people that he's been pouring into to Jesus. And, man, there's just this thing inside of us that, man, we've been wanting to prepare y'all through life to be, one, effective believers, but, two, to walk with purpose and to be anchored in Jesus. We want to give y'all a real Jesus. And so this is why we're talking about biblical Christianity, because in all reality, y'all, there's been a lot of just misrepresentation of Christianity. Specifically because we live in America. There's a lot, man, we're in an hour where Christianity is looking like a mess. I remember, man, to my horror, looking at January 6th when the Capitol Hill assault on Capitol, when it was pretty much an insurrection. And to my horror, I'm looking at Jesus flags being waved. People praying in rooms because they were trying to literally overthrow government. And they're doing it in the name of Jesus, to our horror, because that is not Christianity. There's a lot of Christianity that says, hey, it's okay for you to stay the same and just go to church and do the church thing and go to school and still be the same. There's a form of Christianity that says, hey, it's not really about you and God. It's about what God can do for you. There's this Christianity that says, man, it's about actually how much God will bless you and just the blessings. Does God want to bless us? Yes, but it's not just about us being blessed. There's a Christianity out here that is fraudulent, that is fake, as well as it's more about me. It's me-centric. And the problem when it comes to me-centric is that, man, if it starts with you, it'll end with you. You won't be effective. You see, there's something about when it comes to American Christianity where it's, when I mean my American Christianity, I mean this. Let me just read this. American Christianity, meaning being it being Western or having Western ideals and concepts in our culture. Now, here's the reality, y'all. Christianity did not start here. Christianity did not start in Europe. Christianity did not start in Spain. It did not start in Rome. It didn't start in none of the. Christianity started in the Middle East, in the streets of Jerusalem in Israel. And there's a biblical, real Christianity that if it's biblical Christianity shifts and changes nations. Not with war, not with violence, not with agenda, not with any of the things that we might have seen, but with real Christ-like love. And so that's why we want to talk to you about biblical, real biblical Christianity. We've been talking about how, man, Christianity starts with Christ. It starts with him. It ends with him. It's all about him. But before I keep on going forward, the reason why we're talking about, again, biblical Christianity, American Christianity, because, listen, there's this thing about, man, that we got to recognize what is fake. Who in here has ever bought something that was fake? Yeah, you got something from eBay. It said, oh, my goodness, you can get a PS5 for $5. You can get some Jordans for $15. Wish, oh, God Almighty, Wish. Nobody trusts Wish. Listen, man, I saw them trying to sell a Nintendo Switch, but it was actually like a PS Vita. Like, I was like, my goodness, what is that? It's a PlayStation handheld from literally 10 years ago. Yeah. Oh, no, trust me. You said it, but I'm gonna talk about it. Listen, y'all, because the reason why I talk about when it comes to fake stuff and real stuff, I have a passion to find good deals. And sometimes that means it's not being cheap. It's not being cheap, I promise. It's being frugal. There it is, that's a better word. And so there's some things I've bought in the past that have been really good for a good price, and I saved some money, and then there's things that I got that were real sketch. Like, it looked like I got something from the dollar store. And so this happened to me a couple years ago, and go ahead and throw up the Instagram video. This is me a couple years ago. Oh, you gotta have to put the volume up. Click the volume. It's on the bottom. it's on the bottom. Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You're gonna have to start it over. So.
What happened, Sam?
This is.
I thought I was gonna be looking cool. Instead, I apparently bought some Sesame Street Big Bird Grandma's sewing kit.
Let's see the detail here.
Cheap hoodie.
Look at that. It's like you got some Velcro crap on here.
Get off of me. Guess what size this is?
A medium?
No! This is a large.
What? Wait. Bring the picture back. Let me see.
Expectations?
Wait.
Expectations?
Look at this.
I need you to look at this.
Whoa. There you go. Is that an Asian dude?
I don't know. Expectations. Reality.
Wait, turn on the side. Make the pose.
Look at me. I tried to do the same pose.
No, other way.
Oh, wait.
Look at it. Yeah. Okay. I tried to do the same pose. I tried to do the same pose, and it.
Get this guy!
Hold on. There you go.
All
right, is that?
Listen. I saw this hoodie on this website, and I said, oh, wait, no, I want to see the picture. I saw this hoodie, and I said, oh, for $40, that looks pretty good. I purchased $40. It doesn't come for about 3.5 weeks because it was being shipped from Bangladesh. And I get this in the mail. I don't know if I can fit this. This is, I don't, what, do you, what? You don't want this. You don't want this. It's literally fabric you can get from the dollar store. So I was so mad. I spent $40 on that. They said no refunds. I was so upset that this is what I got because I thought it would be like that, authentic looking, but I got that. And so here's the reality, y'all. That, first of all, that's sad. I'm still mad. I keep that just as a reminder that when I lost $40. But the reason why I give this example is that, hey, if you want Christianity, get the real thing. Get the real thing. Get the one that actually has a true gospel, a real gospel. Get the one that is actually not centered around you, but centered around Christ. Get the one that actually can free you from sin and shame and actually give you a true relationship with Jesus. Let me tell y'all something. A Christianity with no Christ is the wackest thing ever. That's why people are falling away from the faith, because they never met him. A real Christianity puts you in proximity to a real Jesus. And here's the call and here's the burden on our hearts. Know him. Know him. Don't settle for what you see. No. Hear this voice. Hear our voice. You can know him. You can know him. Here's the reality, y'all. Because, again, it's the true gospel. A true gospel. What's the word gospel? Gospel means good news. What is the good news? John 3:16 is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have eternal, everlasting, real life. In verse 17, for God did not send his son to come into the world to judge the world, but to save it. We can actually know this Jesus and be saved from sin, which was separating us from God. It's this, what's this good news? It's 2 Corinthians 5:17. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sins, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. What's the good news? Is that God didn't leave us alone. God didn't leave us alone. God will never leave you alone. God will literally never leave you alone. Even when you don't want God, even if you're like, Pastor Sam, I don't really want God right now. Guess what? He's not going to leave you alone. He ain't leave me alone. When I rejected God and when I said, God, I'm sick of this and I'm sick of what this is, what church is. I come to church and I leave the same. I come to church and I leave the same. I open up this Bible and I don't know what it means. I'm tired of doing the whole roller coaster thing of just saying, okay, I'm going to be a Christian, but really I'm just cussing around with my friends. I'm doing the same thing what my friends are doing. I'm doing this roller coaster, put a mask on type of thing. I'm done with this. I'm done with you. I said that. I rejected God. You know what he did? I was 17. I was working in the mall. I was selling hats. And out of nowhere, I feel the presence of God in my store. And I hear his voice. And he says, hey, Sam, you're going to come back to me. That's the God I know. He doesn't leave us alone. And he will do it at all costs to get you to recognize who he is and what is available. Christianity is not about you. It is about the beauty and the wonder of knowing him. And here's the thing about American Christianity. We said this last week. American Christianity is a me-centric Christianity. It's a me-centered. It's all everything that's about you. And that's why it can be actually really, really popular. Like in America, Christianity is the most popular religion. I think I want to say like there was a statistic where it was like 70% of like Americans like Christians, or it was some crazy high percentage. And I had me thinking, I was like, if it's that high, why we got all this mess? Let me tell you something. Christianity ain't comfortable. In America, where it can be really, really comfortable to say, yeah, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, and still be the same and be really comfortable in it. Let me tell you, biblical Christianity ain't comfortable. It's this commission. It's this thing that Jesus says to literally like people who would say, hey, I want to follow you. He said this. Matthew 16, 24 through 25, he says this, Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you want to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross and follow me. You know what he just said? Deny yourself, pick up your cross, follow me. I love how in 2021, the cross means, you know, Jesus. Cross means Christianity. In Jesus' time, the cross meant torture. The cross meant certain death. The cross meant something terrifying. The cross, when Jesus said, hey, if you want to follow me, you got to have to go through that. Deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. Why does he want us to follow him if it's going to mean death? You know, here's what he says. He says in verse 25 in Matthew 16, if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. You will find actually life. Can I tell y'all something? You don't experience real life apart from Jesus. You don't experience real joy apart from Jesus. You don't experience real love, real peace, real rest apart from Jesus. I'm not talking about, again, religion. I'm talking about a man. I'm talking about a person that is before you. Listen, y'all, it goes way beyond doing just this stuff. It goes way beyond. Can I tell you something, y'all? Anything that you think is like dope or like great, it's not compared to Jesus. As someone who loves sports, where are all my sports people at? Y'all love sports? I love sports. Y'all, I have so much useless sports facts in my mind. I got stats on decades on sports. Can I tell you, Jesus is better than sports. Can I tell you, listen, my sci-fi anime kid, listen, I'm that kid too. Some of you are like, yeah, that's totally me. I get you. I speak that language fluently. And I tell you this, Jesus, Hunter says he does. Jesus is better than video games. Jesus is better than anime, all of them. Jesus is better. She's like, well, it's not, I guess. But listen, I'm telling you. What Jesus is saying is like, hey, if you're trying to find life, if you're trying to keep your life, you'll actually end up losing it. But if you trade it for this type of life, you'll actually find it. I didn't find life, y'all, until I was like 20. I didn't know it was that he was right there. I tried to look for it in relationships. I tried to look for it in stuff. I tried to look for it in other things. It didn't work. Listen, y'all, this is about him. This is about a man. This is about a real Jesus. I love how Dietrich Bonhoeffer said this. He said, when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. That's crazy. He literally says, if when Christ calls a man, he says, hey, come and die. Why? Because when you deny yourself, you're dying to yourself. You will actually end up experiencing real God life. And so, I love what Pastor Josh said this last week. I was about to run through a wall when he said this. He said, a me-centered gospel produces a Christianity that is selfish, cheap, and edited. Because we want a Christianity that is comfortable and a Jesus that we can control. That's a heavy statement. I'm going to repeat that. A me-centered gospel produces a Christianity that is selfish, cheap, and edited. Because we want a Christianity that is comfortable and a Jesus we can control. Can I tell you this, man, that especially that last statement of being comfortable and a Jesus that we can control, that is the history of really in church history of people taking this gospel and trying to use it for their own ends. Can I tell you actually that the Pharisees of Jesus' day, they did that. They wanted their own version of Jesus. We talked about John 18, 28 through 40. And Pastor Josh preached from this last week and this scene between a bloodied and busted up Jesus before a governor, Governor Pilate, and he's being interrogated. And I was like, man, this is one of my favorite scenes in the Bible. John 18, 28 through 40, you have Jesus and Pilate, and they're having this interaction, and Pilate asks Jesus, so you say you're a king then? Jesus replies, you say rightly, or you're correct, I am a king. For this cause, I was born, to bear witness to truth. All who know my voice will know truth. Pilate says, oh my goodness, what are you talking about? What is truth? There's so much that goes in this portion of scripture, but I just want to break down this. I mean, like when we talked about Jesus being a king, we talked about him being King of Kings, we talked about him being a king of glory. Listen, y'all, right in this portion of scripture, this is treason. This is Jesus telling a Roman governor, I'm a king. Anybody who would say that they're a king, that's actually treason, because there's only one king. There's only a Caesar. And so Jesus is in this moment. He's saying, hey, I'm a king. Pilate goes out. He's like, man, I don't know about this dude, but something tells me I shouldn't mess with him. He goes out to the crowd. He says, hey, I don't find any fault in him, which I think is hilarious because when he asks what is truth, he goes out and says, I don't find any fault in him. Jesus is truth. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He's the truth embodied. He says, I don't find any fault in him. And so what ends up happening, he tells the crowd, hey, I don't find any fault in him. But then they say this, crucify him. And it was Rome's custom that they released a prisoner every single year around the Passover time. And what they did, what Pilate asked, he says, okay, how about this? Either release Jesus or release this person called Barabbas. Someone say Barabbas. Now here's the interesting, crazy part. Because in verse 40 it says this. But they shouted back, no, we don't want this one. We want Barabbas. For Barabbas was a revolutionary. Now, this word revolutionary. First and foremost, what is a revolution? A revolution means the tearing down of one constitution or government and the establishing of a new one. A revolutionary was one who brought about major shift or radical change. And so you have this dude who, I'm like, if I'm looking at Jesus, I'm like, this dude's a revolutionary. But then you have this dude, Barabbas, who's actually a revolutionary too. He caused an insurrection against the Romans. And on this trial, the Pharisees and the mob, they could either choose Jesus Christ, Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the rightful King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You're talking about this Jesus, or you can choose Barabbas. And they choose Barabbas. You do some studying, and it's really crazy, actually. Because here's the thing. Here's the crazy, crazy coincidence. Barabbas' whole name is this, Jesus Barabbas. Or in Hebrew, it's called Yeshua Bar-Abba. He has the same name as Jesus. It means deliverer. And so what happens in this moment is that the crowd, they look at this Jesus, this one who's been healing the sick and preaching the gospel and who's been offending every type of religious leader. And he doesn't look like the Messiah or the Christ or the anointed one that they wanted. So they end up picking the one that looked like them more. They pick Yeshua Barabbas. They pick Barabbas. And let me tell y'all something. Throughout the ages, that has happened. Where we take a little bit of this gospel, we take a little bit of Jesus, and we take a lot of our own custom and our own culture and our own way of thinking, and we try to make up our own type of Jesus. And we say, we worship this one and not this one. You see, what's the crazy thing is that Jesus was a revolutionary to the point where we're talking about his teachings, his movements, 2,000 years later. Today. And how did he do that? He didn't do it by storming Rome. He didn't do it by causing or raising up an army. He didn't do it by galvanizing Israel and saying we're going to rise against Rome or our enemies. He didn't do it like that. He did it with a message. He did it with Matthew 4:17, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This word repent means this, to shift or turn the way you think. And when you turn the way you think, you'll turn the way you live. And he showcased, actually, what was the whole reason why Jesus came? To break and to destroy the works of the devil, because that was his real enemy in the first place. And so what does Jesus do? Instead of being what everybody wants him to be, he is who he is. And so what does he do? He goes about preaching this message and showcasing the character and the person of God. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, which is this, the king's domain. When Jesus steps on the scene, he says, yeah, it's me. Yeah, whatever I will, whatever I believe, whatever I desire, whatever my values are, these are it. And let me tell y'all something. This message, when real Christians got a hold of this message, this shifted whole nations. This shifted whole, y'all understand that, I mean, y'all might not know this. Right now in China, there by the end of this decade, they'll have more Christians in the world. Right now in Iran, there is a message of the gospel, and it's going, and it's flooding Islamic nations. You don't understand that, man, that this message of repent for the kingdom of heaven has hand, it didn't start with violence, it started with character. It didn't start with violence, it started with preaching and teaching and living. You know how you shift a nation? Adhere to his word. You know how you change your friends? Not by trying to debate, not saying that when they have questions you don't answer, or not saying that. I'm saying this, live this. I'm saying this, if you're in the midst of pressure around you, live this. Let this be in your speech and let this be in your action, and I guarantee that you'll see real Christianity. And what ends up happening, man, when people have done real Christianity, people see Jesus. So I just want y'all to just recognize this, that man, Jesus, his ways and his actions, when we follow him, they become our ways and our actions. I want you just to go ahead and stand up. First and foremost, if you're in this room and you have never received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior over your life, you just heard the gospel. God so loved the world that he gave. If you have not received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I just want you to just raise your hands on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. If you've never received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Then awesome. Then I'm just going to pray over us with this. Holy Spirit, I pray right now, Lord, that man, every single kid, God, that has heard this message, Lord, that this would be an equipping station for them to walk and to talk and to observe your ways so that we can actually showcase real Christianity. That this would be about your business more than about our business. Holy Spirit, I pray, Lord, that be seared on our heart. Lord, we bless you and we love you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen, 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 amen. Awesome, y'all. We love y'all.